Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. A right spirit. Certainly something that we all desire. We would prefer it's always in us and always well visible to others. Realistically, sometimes the right spirit isn't well visible to others. Psalm 51, of course, David's heart cry to God after his sin, lying with another man's wife, then having that man killed to try to cover it up, and all the things that ensued there. And Psalm 51, here David, man after God's own heart, a man that God sanctioned and ordained to be the ruler, a man that had walked with God very closely, found himself quite distant from God. And what a blessing it was to him, and what a blessing it is to you and I, that when we wander, that the Lord is always there waiting, waiting for us to realize our sin, our error, and turn back to him. And he's there with open arms. He's there with love and forgiveness. Psalm 51, the way back to God. We see here David, but also what we see for ourselves is we see a path that we can go when we find ourselves on the outside, when we find ourselves not walking in sweet fellowship with the Lord. We see here laid out before us the path that we can take to be right with God. Is it hard? Well, there's not a lot of steps in it. Humbling ourselves can be hard. It can be really hard. But when we humble ourselves before a holy, loving, gracious God, he'll forgive us and get us back on the right path. But it's only through his grace, it's only through his spirit can we do that. It's not a magic formula that's written up in a little book here that you can take and follow. It's just like our salvation was. It's we come to a point when we realized we were sinners. Right now we realize our fellowship with God is broken, and we simply turn to him. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this morning as we open your word, Lord, as we look at these blessed truths of forgiveness, of how we can have a right spirit, and have right fellowship with you, and walk with you in sweet communion. As David, as he played his harp and sang the psalms and walked with you, once did in his younger years, then he came to his great sin. But there was a way back to God for him. There's a way back to God for all of us. Lord, we're thankful for that. We're thankful that thou art a mighty, gracious, patient, forgiving God. Lord, as we find forgiveness in you, might we then forgive ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. David's following along in your lesson, lesson 8. David's desire was to have a right spirit. In Psalm 51:10, he cries out, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. God wants his children to be right with him, and he's made a way for us to do it. Turn with me to Proverbs 18:14. Proverbs 18:14. In going through this lesson this week, and going through God's word, it's just a blessing as God's word is illuminated to us. Scriptures that we come across and we think, man, I've never seen some of these scriptures before. The Lord is good. 18:14. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? We can get through the hard times physically, but a wounded spirit who can bear? It's hard to bear. It's hard to bear. Proverbs 18:14. We see in Psalm 51 the progression. David begins. He begins the psalm with who the Lord is and the mercy of God. Then he pours out his soul concerning his sin and the great evil which he had committed. And then in Psalm 51:9, David cried, "Hide thy face from my sins and blot out mine iniquities." There are were sins in our lives that we would like to not be in the face of Christ, not have it in front of his vision, not have him looking at it. And what a blessing, verses like this one here, where the Lord will hide his face from our sin when we repent of it. He'll hide his face from it. He'll put it away. That's a blessing. That's a blessing because that means we can have right fellowship again. David never wanted God to look at his sin again. And this is exactly what God does once our sin has been confessed. God's face never looks at it again. Will the devil bring it up again? Hello. He'll bring it up, bring it up, bring it up and say, "You're a failure. You can't do it. You might as well give up." God never looks back at that sin. Once we've confessed it, God never looks back at it. It's gone. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Our sin is taken care of. You and I right now are already seated in the heavenlies. It's a done deal. That's a blessing. But when sin comes into our lives and that fellowship is broken, turn with me to Isaiah 38:17. Behold, for peace I have great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Behind thy back. Behind thy back is to forget. Behind thy back is to lose sight of. Behind thy back is to exclude from view. And God will do that with our sin if we just confess it to him. What a verse. Man, this week when I saw this verse, I thought, man, that's great. It's gone. He excludes it from his view. It's gone. He doesn't see it. He doesn't want to see it. He doesn't need to see it. It's gone once we've confessed. And once we've dealt with it, it's gone. In the little box there in your lesson, we never have to face our sin a second time. Because God never faces it a second time. We don't have to face it a second time. Forgiveness will come from God. Then we need to let that forgiveness be applied in our lives. Because what we tend to do is bring it back up. And bring it back up. But God never brings it back up. That'll make you want to jump up and down and holler and praise the Lord. He'll never bring it up again. It's gone. I hope with each of you, it's your desire each day as you get up and go about your day. And I'm not saying we always succeed, but I hope it's your desire that each day you walk in the Spirit. I hope that's your desire. I hope you take just a moment or two and open God's Word, even if it's just a verse you're taking with you for the day. Take God's Word with you for the day. Take it with you. When thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. God's Word is the answer for the needs in our lives. Knowing what we should do and doing what we should do is the difference between drifting in our lives and getting God to help us. We must determine by the grace of God to do what is right. We have to purpose that in our heart. And God will give us the strength and He will give us the victory in that. Page 34 in your lesson, where does it all begin? Where does it all lead? What is the way back to the beginning? Where does it all begin? David's experience with God proves to be one of the most instructive examples in the Bible. He was a man who lived a life at the top, but he became insensitive to sin. Last week we looked at a verse in Deuteronomy, and it said about kings couldn't have multiple wives. Anybody remember where that verse was? Deuteronomy 17:17. Giving instructions to the kings that would come that they should not take multiple wives, because the multiple wives would steal their heart from God. And we have the record of different kings that had multiple wives. They brought in their false gods and they brought that all in. They brought all that in. So David had been given instruction not to have multiple wives. And yet he did. He became insensitive to sin. Having married multiple wives, having been with them for quite some time now, you would think when he woke up that night, you know, each morning, it probably wasn't there. You're living in sin. You're not supposed to have multiple wives. You're probably by this time, it's just another daily routine. You know, I got however many wives, and it's just another thing. And that thing started separating him from his fellowship and his walk with his God. It got him so far out to the point where one day he was on the rooftop and saw a woman bathing. Sent and inquired who she was. Well, that's Uriah the Hittite's wife. He said, bring her to me. Man, he wasn't walking in fellowship. I mean, you know, but you might think, well, you know, at least if she wouldn't have been married, it might have been better. Although he's not allowed to have multiple wives. But it's one of his top soldiers out there in the field, and he takes her anyway. Because he wasn't walking in the Spirit. He did not have a right spirit. We need to walk in the Spirit. The Bible says that if we walk in the Spirit, we won't what? Fulfill the lust of the flesh. We will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You may wonder, was David a believer? Certainly he was. Certainly he, growing up through those years, as he went on that battlefield, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of a living God? He was a Christian. He had walked with the Lord. He had great faith. Never once do we see him questioning the ability of his God to take down that one guy. And he took 5 stones that day. Maybe one was for the first guy and the other 4 were whoever wanted some of that themselves. I don't know, but he took 5 stones that day, but he took a big God with him. Took a big God. He had a big God. One of the colleges, in Bible college, you always have a preacher boys class, and that's a special class where the main leader of the college would spend more personal time with you guys. And you would just really get a good time with him and really get special input. And after his kids would graduate, and I say his kids, but those that sat under his teaching, he'd slip out into their churches every now and then and just see how big their God was. Sit in the back, try to slip in, maybe be unnoticed, and listen to the preaching and hear how big their God is. Our God is big. Our kids know it. Man, my kids prayed some of the biggest prayers. Man. I can remember one time a story about the ring. The diamond ring was on my key ring, and I'd gone down to the party store and I don't know, something happened. I lost my key ring, and I thought that diamond ring is gone down at that party store. Long gone. And the little girl, my little daughter, she said, "Well, Dad, why don't we just pray for that diamond ring? Pray for it. You kidding? By now that thing's in the hot shop. Why would you pray for that ring? It's gone." And that ring came back. I don't remember the details. You probably have to ask my wife. But it came back. That ring came back. Because our kids have a big God. We proclaim our God to them. They believe us and they believe God's word, and their God is big. Then as we get older and we get things figured out, we start taking care of things and making things happen with our abilities, with our talents. Our God, he seems to shrink to us. No more can we ask him for those big things that we're sure are undoable. Big things. Our God is a big God. Luke 15:20. The lost chapter, the lost coin, the lost sheep, the lost son. Luke 15:20. The lost son finally comes to a point where he realizes, as he's out there feeding the swine and looking and thinking, that food looks pretty good right now. I'm so hungry. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. That's the story of our Heavenly Father, waiting with open arms, waiting for us to say, "I've sinned. I confess my sin." And then it all came. The robes, the rings, the fatted calf, it all came. It wasn't hard. Well, the steps weren't complicated. All he had to do was realize his sin and turn. And the Lord was right there. The Lord is there ready to forgive you and I of anything that we repent of. Of anything that we repent of. He is there. Was David a believer? He certainly was. He had walked with God closely. He had played his harp and to the Lord and sang the psalms to the Lord. That boy had had fellowship with God. And yet here he finds himself, and here we find the story, and he's distant. He was a man after God's own heart. So how did he fall? He did not guard his spirit. He did not keep close account of his sin. Before laying his head on the pillow at night, He didn't make sure all the sins were accounted for and confessed. They just started slipping and slipping and slipping and growing. All sin is off limits to God's children. We know that, right? David lost his right spirit with God the day he made a choice to sin. An informed choice. Not just a, oh man, what do I do now? Something happened and he had to make a right decision. No, he had time to think about this. He had time to get information about the girl and who she is. And yet he still chose. He chose. And then he drifted. Because of his loss, he could not have joy. He could not have gladness. He could not have that sweet fellowship. God's dealing with David was the beginning of David's journey back to God. If you and I sin, if we don't confess it, the Lord's Spirit will reveal that sin to us. And then we would need to confess it. God's dealing with David was the beginning of David's journey back to God. Where does it all lead? Back to Psalm 51, verses 7 through 10. Psalm 51, verses 7 through 10. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David had known the Lord. David had had sweet fellowship with the Lord, but something went wrong. Because of the terrible sin in his life, David turned from the Lord. Great heartaches came. His entire life was affected by it. His thinking, his attitude, his actions. The consequences of David's sin were great. In 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12, we see where David goes and takes another man's wife. We see where he has Uriah killed. We see then in chapter 12 where God's man comes out and says, you have done wrong. You've done wrong. We have that account in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and chapter 12 is that account. David that day, after wandering far from the Lord, as God's man reached across the pulpit and said, you are in sin. And I say across the pulpit, I mean that figuratively. Obviously, he wasn't standing at a pulpit. But as he reached across and said, David, you're the man. You're the man that has done this great sin. And David that day, David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Man, what a day. Forgiveness came. It came. It came after there was confession. David had had that sweet fellowship. Something was wrong. Because of the terrible sin in his life, David turned from the Lord. Great heartaches came into his life. Following along there in 2 Samuel, we see the heartaches that came. Forgiveness of sin would come. Are there still repercussions because of our sin on earth? Yeah, there are. There certainly are. And they came to David, and they were horrible all of his life. they came to his family, and of course, eventually, it would cost him. His son would rise up against him to steal away his kingdom. His general would kill his own son. Many Christians start out right, but then they go astray. I'm a good starter. I've started 9 million things in my life. I love starting. But man, it just seems like as you get into it and you get into it and you think, ah, that one's gone. And then you start again. God's promises are new to us every day, aren't they? You can start again every day with the Lord. That's a blessing. David got to start again. You and I can start again. We start out right, and we go astray. Where does it all lead? Some people may be wringing their hands and saying, things used to be so good. Now they're so bad. I hope where you are in your life is not at a point of, man, the Lord and I used to walk together. I remember back when I was in Bible college, or I remember back whenever you remember back. I remember the day that I had that sweet fellowship with the Lord. Those don't have to be in the past. Those can be today with just another start. Another start. God's promise is new every day to us. Things used to be so good. David, Lord, will I ever again have what I had when I played the harp and sang the psalms? Will I ever have that again? Yes, that sweet fellowship can be had again. Will I ever again know what I knew when we walked and talked together? The sweet fellowship can be there again. It can be there. Many people may wonder if their spirit will ever be right again. I believe this is, the author here says, I believe this is what is going through David's mind when he prayed his prayer in Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Then what was the way back? The way back to the beginning. We don't need a change of attitude. What we need is a right spirit. Renew a right spirit within me. God is willing to give that. He's willing to give that. We just have to ask. As with salvation, right there, the free gift was for us. All as we had to do was confess our sin and turn to Him, and He'd forgive us. And He did forgive us. David prayed for a new beginning. He prayed for a new beginning. God gave him a new beginning. He said, God, give me a new beginning. Let me start over again. God, cleanse me. Blot out. Hide thy face from. And he goes through these verses. When God does these things, when he hides his face from, when he puts them behind his back, again, to put behind the back, to forget, to lose sight of, to exclude from view. God does all those things for us. Why? Because he loves us. Why? Because he's a gracious God. Is it something that's due us? No, certainly not. It's because of who God is. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. We get to start over. And we fall again and we get to start over again because he's a gracious God. He's a loving God. Hide thy face from it. Give me a new beginning. I do not want to drift any farther. Satan tells us that the things can never be right again. You'll never be right with God. You've failed too many times. He'll tell you that. Does he tell any of you that? He tells me that. You're a failure, fella. Yeah, you're right, I am. But I've got a loving God. And I'm willing to go to him and confess my sin. And God is willing to forgive. Things may start out well, then we go astray. Bethel. Bethel means? Kelly? Bethel? El? God? House. House of God. Bethel. House of God. We need to go back to Bethel. We've been to Bethel. We've had salvation. We've met the God. Go back to Bethel and meet the God of the house of God. And that's where the power is. Go back to the house of God and meet the God of the house of God. Go back to Bethel and meet El Bethel. Back to Bethel. That's probably a sermon, I imagine you've heard it preached. Back to Bethel. We can go back there. We can go back there and we can go back there. And again, meet El Bethel, the God of the house of God. The principle here is that God can forgive and cleanse us. We can start life again. The Lord gives us a new beginning. We cannot undo the things that we have done. We can't undo them. They're already done. But we can go to God and he will blot out our transgressions. He will forgive us. We can go to God and he will let us start over again. God will renew a right spirit within us. The right spirit will produce the other necessary changes. God wants us to be right with him. It all begins with salvation. When we go astray, we can begin again with God. The Christian life is a series of new beginnings. The Christian life is a series of new beginnings. Take these verses with you. Hide them in your heart. Isaiah 38:17. He puts it behind his back, out of his sight. He doesn't need to see it anymore. It's gone. Hang on to verses like that. They'll be important to you someday when you're in sin and you need to turn. Hang on to these verses. Have them close. Memorize them. Have them there so when God needs to speak to you through his word, through his spirit, that they're there. Our memory verse for the day. Anybody ready with that? It was verse 12. Okay. Trace, are you raising your hand or are you scratching? Yes. Amen. Amen. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Maybe you learned today, maybe you learned the lesson or the verse that goes along with this lesson. Was anybody ready with that one? Psalm 51:10. Psalm 51:10. Was anybody ready with that one? Okay, yes. Creating me a clean. That's all right. Amen. Praise the Lord. And this is a question. Lord, please do this. And God certainly will. Praise the Lord. Okay, verse 12. Okay, I'm going to be gone 2 weeks. We're going to hit the big bird out to Vancouver, British Columbia, see the kids and the grandkids. For 2 weeks, I'm going to be gone. Now, if you do a verse a week, we don't have to double up on any verses. And by the time we're done this lesson, this series of lessons, we will have the entire chapter learned. That means next week, you've got to do verse 13. The following week, we have to do verse Okay. All right. I'd like to wish you guys a Merry Christmas. Did you get that? 13 and 14. And then when we come back, we'll be on lesson 9. Okay? Have a Merry Christmas. Thank you.